Hello, Tim. Are you there? Tim, what happened to you, Tim?
Joel, did I lose you again? Hey, Random Chatter listeners. Welcome to the fourth episode of Random Chatter Interviews featuring Joel Welch. Joel is a Random Chatter staff member managing several of our Twitter accounts, is a past Random Chatter movie draft champion, and is the creator and host of the Sci-Fi Pubcast, coming soon right here on Random Chatter. Joel and I very much wish to thank his internet service provider for giving us some challenges in the recording of this episode. He had a few service outages when we first recorded, so we finished our interview a couple of days later. We have some reasonable continuity in the conversations, but our transition music will help you move from one to the other. Regardless of the technical problems, Joel and I always have a good time talking. Enjoy the interview. And Joel, welcome to Random Chatter Interviews.
Hi, Tim. I'm happy to be here.
I'm very happy that you're here with me. So this is our fourth interview, I believe, on Random Chatter Interviews. And you were one of the very first people to jump right in and say, hey, Tim, count me in.
Yeah, I don't have an ego at all.
Well, but see, that's actually kind of what this is about. We want you to talk about yourself.
Oh, dear God,
so
no.
The show is purely ego-driven. I try to suppress mine for the sake of allowing our guests to talk about themselves, because it's really all about you guys.
All right, let's do this. What do you want to know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Joel, you are staff for the network, and you are like just on the cusp of being a regular host. On the staff side, you run many of the network's Twitter accounts, correct?
That's right. I'm a news junkie, information junkie, and I was an early adopter of Twitter, and I took that responsibility over maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. So
great. You're essentially the voice, if you will, of Twitter for the Random Chatter Network. For what other show?
Yeah, I have access to the Random Chatter account, as well as Echo Base. Yeah, what else is there? There's used to be the Outer Rim as well, and the Crash Couch, the Expanse show, which Chris and Lou do.
Great, great, very good. You have guested on some podcasts. I know you moderated the most recent movie draft, and I say most recent like we're on the cusp of another movie draft within hours or days that we're recording. I think this will still make it out before the movie draft does. But you were the moderator.
Yeah, that is because I actually won the movie draft previously. So I'm a winner. My name's on the trophy.
Yeah, about that trophy. We're going to talk in a little bit about it, but you are the host of a new podcast coming out on the network called the Sci-Fi Pubcast.
Yes, and just for the record, I'm actually sober right now, so my jokes may not be very good.
Well, see, but if we were recording in your pub for the pubcast, then you might be a drink or two. And I actually have, you know, I've got a mixed drink with some gin in it right now, so I'm good with that.
I'm drinking green tea right now. It was Saturday afternoon. Okay.
It's a Saturday after. Well, you know, it's warm out. Green tea is good. It's healthy for you. That's okay. That's all right. And but, it's still the afternoon yet. It's still early.
Exactly. Where's my gin? Okay. The Sci-Fi Pubcast. This is my brainchild. And there's a few things that's working in my mind about this in terms of the creative aspect. I'm trying to marry two of my passions, right? One is I'm a very social guy, and I like the bar scene, the pub scene. It's always been my scene. Let's put it this way. I have a lot of Irish in me. I have some Scottish in me. I like my beer. I grew up in this environment. So I love music. I love conversation. I love good discussions with all types because everyone brings a certain perspective and viewpoint, which I find interesting. And of course, science fiction. You know, I've been a huge science fiction fan since I was a small child. Before, like, when I learned how to read, I was reading books on sci-fi and fantasy when I was like 9, 10, 11 years old. And I haven't stopped very much.
That's good. Yeah, well, we're definitely going to talk a little bit more about the pubcast later. But as with the other Random Chatter interviews that we've done, we take a couple steps back, kind of way back to the beginning of Joel.
You mean when I had hair?
Actually, well, depending. Some people come out with hair, some people come out without hair. But definitely back to, you know, back to the early days of Joel. Where were you born, Joel? Where are you originally from?
I was born in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. And my family moved to Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, which is literally like 10 miles away when I was like 2. So I grew up in Niagara Falls. My dad was Canadian. My mom was American. So I'm what's known as a border brat. So I, you know, I'm Canadian and American. I go both ways. But I was born in Canada, and I grew up in Canada. I was educated in Canada. So, but most of my family nowadays are in the States. So,
very good. Yeah. In fact, Joel, you and I have had more opportunity to get together than I've had with any other folks with the network. Because you currently reside in the Ottawa area, and you occasionally make the trip out to Western New York. And since I'm in Central New York, sometimes you pass by. We have an opportunity to get together, have a couple beers, have a burger, have a few laughs. So that's been a good time. It's been really cool to get to meet you and get to know you better that way, along with our time down in Orlando at Celebration.
Yeah, and it's my understanding that's an open invite for anyone to stop by your house, like all the listeners. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, ideally it should be pre-scheduled.
So if I can't get into my apartment because I'm too intoxicated and I need some help, I can just stop by your house, right? I can take the cab to your house.
That's a long cab ride, Joel. I'm pretty sure you have some friends up in Ottawa that would, you know, because you'd be sober by the time you got here. That's a guarantee.
Yeah. About me. Okay. I'm telling you my life story. It's really, really long. But
yeah. Go for it.
No. So I let's see. So I grew up in Niagara Falls. My dad was he worked on the Welland Canal. So there's a canal system that attaches Lake Ontario to Lake Erie. It's part of the St. Lawrence Seaway. Mm-hmm. So I come from a long line of canal workers on my dad's side. My mom was mostly a homemaker, but she worked at retail. She worked at different department stores, including Sears Canada and Roseburg's, which is a department store that that closed maybe 25 years ago, back in the day. I have one older brother. His name's Sean. And, spent a lot of time in Niagara. Then things happened. I went to universities, spent too much time at university. Got a decent job, got another job, lost a job, you know, and I moved around quite a bit.
Yeah, that's good. And I've met Sean as well. I've met him down at Celebration. So hi, Sean, if you're listening. He should be. Sean is a member of our Random Chatter network here.
Yeah, so.
So what was your experience growing up? What did you do as a kid?
Well, okay, first thing, you can probably tell if you listen to how I talk, I sometimes stutter, sometimes I slur words. I had a speech impediment as a kid. Mm-hmm. So my growing up years as a child was not an easy task because people picked on me and I reacted violently. So so I got lots of fist fights in grade school up to maybe grade 9. And I switched high schools from grade 9 to grade 10 to get away from that. And I did. So I did that. I played sports in high school. I played rugby, which I really enjoyed. I played football, which I really wanted to be like my dream was to play football for Notre Dame.
So you're talking football, not soccer football.
No, football. Look, I'm half American, man. Come on. You know, and I could have played football for Notre Dame if I could, you know, weigh an extra 100 pounds and had some sort of natural athletic talents, then perhaps. But no. I was one of these guys which had zero talent, but I had great endurance, and I could hit really hard for my size.
Sure. So, you're a tall guy. You're a little taller than I am, right?
Yeah, just under 6'2".
Wow.
When I had hair, I was 6'2".
So you lose about a half an inch from the hair thing.
Yeah. What I was actually in high school, I was quite active. I was in the concert band. I was a drummer. Actually my last year or two of high school, we had what's called OAC, which turned into, was, let me rephrase that. It was known previously as grade 13, nowadays in Ontario, there's no grade 13 OAC. If people stay an extra year, they call it their leap year. No, was it lap year? Victory lap, basically. My generation of people from Ontario, you started university when you were about 19. You didn't finish university when you're 19. So my last year or two of high school, I did a lot of theater stuff at the one art school in town, Stanford. And I really enjoyed myself. And believe it or not, James Cameron, the director, went to my high school.
Really?
Yep. In the Stanford Collegian, which is right on Lundy's Lane in Niagara Falls, they named the green room after him nowadays.
No kidding.
After my time there. So, the other thing which occupied much of my time as a teenager was I was in the Sea Cadets, kind of like Boy Scouts, but more military-like, and my dad ran on the local Sea Cadet Corps. There's Sea Cadets in the States as well, but it's slightly different. So it's paramilitary, learn how to sail, leadership. It's government sponsored up here. So I was kind of brainwashed from a very young age to being, in uniform and the whole service thing and being outdoorsy, that type of stuff.
Sure. Sure. So, that's neat. That's neat.
Yeah.
A lot of the things that you're talking about in terms of growing up don't seem to equate much to the whole nerd culture, geek culture thing that a lot of us know you for now. So where did that all take place?
I hit it. Definitely. It was right in my psychology. It was way down different layers of my consciousness. Not really. My experience is that people, smart people will like a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. I'm very much eclectic in my taste. I like people who are eclectic because if you just have one interest, to me it's kind of boring because life's more just about one brand or one interest. I find reading was great. I read so many science fiction books when I was a teenager. Then I got into literature, like heavy into literature. And then I got to history and all that good stuff. So if I have to describe myself, I describe myself as a learner. I love learning. And I think that's part of geek culture. Yeah, because it's more open in terms of acceptance, and it's more open to ideas, and people can learn about themselves and the world they live in by telling or discussing stories. And even things like the industry stuff. I like geek culture. I'm not sure if I'd be a geek. I think my coworkers would call me a geek. But they don't know what they're talking about. But it's just, it's a sense of community. It's a sense of openness. It's a sense of being welcomed into a group of friends who have similar interests.
Sure. Absolutely.
And nowadays I just wear Star Wars t-shirts mostly. So you can tell I'm a geek now because I really don't care what people think of me.
Well, and I even know better from the brief bit that we were on video for Skype, you were wearing an Indiana Jones t-shirt.
I bought that at Disney World when I was down in Orlando in April. So
that's good. That's good.
Okay, and I keep on saying so. I have to stop saying so. I have to be more mic tight.
We all have our own verbal tics, and it's funny. The more that I've come to do a lot of my own post-production and editing and such, I've definitely discovered some of mine, and I try to minimize them somewhat in the editing, but necessarily can't get rid of them completely. One, because I'm not that talented of an editor, and two, I find, there are just some things that kind of tend to flow well in the conversation, and it's a little bit more forgiving. This is not so much of an exact science, so, we all have our thing.
Yeah, and that's why I like podcasting, and I've been listening to podcasts for about 3 years now. And I like the fact, I like the podcasts that are not professionally done. There's some good ones out there as well. But what I really enjoy about podcasting and podcasters is the amateur level.
Sure.
So I don't mind if the production value isn't perfect. To me, it's more about the conversation, the people, the community. What are people on about? And that is what I find fascinating and neat.
Yeah, the barrier to entry for podcasting is very low. And it was kind of a mystery to me. I mean, I had been a listener of podcasts for a long time, of a variety of different podcasts, but I really got my start in it, with the Forcecast and, Echo Base when it was over with the Force.net as well. And then as things transitioned over with those podcasts, as well as other podcasts that are part of the Random Chatter Network, and I've listened to Chris Hardwick a lot with Nerdist. I've listened to Aisha Tyler's podcast. She also does long-form interview stuff. Yes, yes, we were talking about podcasting. So for listeners, depending on how good my editing skills are here and how good things come up, just to let everyone know, Joel had a brief internet outage at his location, so we had to pause things and kind of restart them a little bit. But I think I was saying, you know, just listening to some of the different podcasts that I listen to, and like you mentioned, some are very, you know, professionally produced, very polished. Some are not as polished, but obviously still good. I think everything we do with Random Chatter is, still has some great content, despite all of us basically doing this as a volunteer type of thing, and it's just a side thing for us. But it's a lot of fun to listen to people who have a passion for things that you also have a passion for. Regardless of how polished it is, it kind of doesn't matter so long as you feel, as a listener, that you can be part of that conversation. And I find myself, and even still, listening to podcasts and wanting to become part of that conversation.
And I completely get that, because I think with podcasting, you want to participate. It's a participating type medium where, you know, it's better than chat boards. It's not as good as actually having a drink with someone in a bar. And it's amazing how the tech has gotten to a point where average people can actually do this and have an amazing amount of listeners.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, the financial investment in podcasting is actually fairly small. I mean, really, you just need a decent quality microphone. You need to have a friend to, you know, ideally do it with. I mean, you can do it on your own, and there's plenty of podcasters that do, you know, one person podcast shows, which is fine. I tend to shy away from those. I like ones where there's, you know, two or three or sometimes even four people talking about something. I like the difference of opinion. I like the camaraderie that it brings. And that kind of, at least to me, gives me a little bit more of a, like I'm a fly on a wall listening to a bunch of friends talk about something. And I like that. I like that aspect to it.
What type of podcasts do you listen to?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, it's, you know, obviously I listen to a lot of things that are on the network. I listen to outside the network. I listen to like Star Talk, which Neil deGrasse Tyson does. I listen to, as I mentioned, a lot of Chris Hardwick's interviews, Aisha Tyler's interviews. So I definitely do like the interview ones. In terms of Star Wars stuff that is not on the network, Star Wars in Character, I love. Definitely not safe for work. They get a little raunchy sometimes. But they're a lot of fun, and it's four guys, and they talk about some of the more obscure characters in the Star Wars universe. And so it's just kind of neat. I mean, these guys, they do their research. They have a lot of dialogue. They oftentimes will throw like a quiz type of game show element into their shows. So they have a lot of interaction amongst themselves. But as a listener, it compels you to want to participate. You know, those types of things are a lot of fun. How about you? What other types of podcasts are you into?
Yeah, I spend a lot of time listening to podcasts. You know, I was listening to a lot of Star Wars podcasts there for the last couple of years, and this year I've kind of taken a break from Star Wars podcasts. I still listen to our network stuff all the time, and I listen to Full of Sith. I listen to a lot of history podcasts. Mm-hmm. Less of Bonaparte's is kind of like what we're doing now, but in the history realm, in a very informal and I won't say thought-provoking, but in a humorous way. But there's hardcore historians, when I say hardcore, the more serious historians who's telling history through a narrative. And these are like the Mike Duncans of the world, or Dan Carlin, who's the grandfather of that type of narrative in podcasting in the history world.
Sure.
So I listen to a lot of those. But I listen to a lot of space stuff as well. You mentioned Neil deGrasse, Star Talk. Yeah, he's great. I listen to a lot of his stuff. There's been some spinoffs. And I've listened to a lot of the whole storytelling thing. the whole, you know, subculture of UFOs and aliens and that business, it's not that I believe it as much as I find it fascinating people do believe these things. And I like to apply critical thought to it. So it's neat when you have, say, a podcast called Astonishing Legends. And these two guys, they do an amazing job. They're backed up with a bunch of researchers. And they do deep dives into whatever topic. And I'm all about the deep dives.
And that's really cool. It's when you get immersed into some of those different, whether it's just stories, whether it is facts, and hearing people explore different facets of those things. And even sometimes if it's factual, people are then hypothesizing and opining and theorizing about how those things came to be. Because even talking about history, not all history is documented. So we have to draw some conclusions based upon what we do know to try to figure out what happened or what led to a certain historical event if it was not actually cataloged.
Yeah, so if you didn't, the tagline, I say the lesser Bonaparte is, if you didn't bake that tablet, no one's going to know about your civilization.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And that's not my saying, that's their saying. But it's like there's been many great empires and cultures out there in history that never had a written language. Look at the Celts.
Yeah.
You know, the Celts really, basically was the northern half of Europe for 1,000 years.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, and there's a lot of cultures with either unwritten histories or lesser written histories. Some things that we're actually still trying to figure out. Different, basically how to translate what they did have in writing when they use different symbologies and hieroglyphics and that kind of thing. And we're attaching those to the histories of other cultures to try to then surmise what the history of their culture was and how certain things happened. And, we start with benchmarking certain events and then trying to fill in the details between those benchmarks. And it is very interesting. It's quite fascinating. At least in terms of more modern history, for me, the World War II era is absolutely fascinating. I have family members who were involved in it and I just find the whole, a lot of it to be very fascinating in terms of the politics and how it happened and the, war aspects of it and such. But then even going back to ancient history, the ancient Romans, something that absolutely fascinates me. And I've read a gazillion books on them, both, fact as well as historical fiction. And I love that stuff.
Yeah, I think with history, the best thing that history can teach people is how to think, like the critical thought skill set. Because you have to ask why. Mm-hmm. And generally, people are doing stuff for a variety of different motivations. And maybe there's multiple motivations, but they're acting out of a motivation.
Sure.
So maybe it's survival, perhaps it's greed, who knows? The world's complex. But you can see reflections of, say, ancient Rome and their society on our own. And that's quite common in all of history, where the present day, the contemporary society, they look back and they try to impose what they see in history on their own current world. The Romans and Greeks has had a tremendous influence on Western democracies. Not to mention religion. It's so interesting. I don't know who said this, but in order to understand what's happening today, you need to understand, at least to a certain degree, what was happening yesterday and the day before.
Absolutely.
Because we do not live in a vacuum. And that's why I like discussions. That's why I want to bring these types of discussions in terms of the science fiction realm with my podcast, the Sci-Fi Pubcast, in a way where it's informal, it's welcoming. It's all the stuff we've been talking about the community, just good, interesting conversation.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And I know when you were last time you were here at my house visiting, we talked about the pubcast some and some of the different aspects and avenues of it. And it's really interesting to consider the time that certain sci-fi stories were told in and what that particular time or how that particular time influenced those stories. We saw a lot of sci-fi get written during the Cold War. And it was obviously influenced by technology. It was influenced by the space race, but it was influenced by politics.
Yeah, and it was influenced by not being able to do anything about certain death, right?
Yes.
You're afraid of the, all-out nuclear war and the nuclear winter that follows. Mm-hmm. Very much like, what happens if we're attacked by aliens? Well, we're going to die. That's going to happen. Happening.
Sure, yeah. You know? And so many people see that as an inevitability, that if we discover this some sort of alien race, there will be a war. There's very little sci-fi, at least in a relative sense, out there that surmises a peaceful existence between us and alien races.
Yeah, it's funny. I was asked this question by a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago because he was making fun of me because of my podcasting and sci-fi. He's not really part of the geek culture, you could say. And he came out and said, so what, do you believe in aliens? And my answer, of course, is, well, if you do the math, yeah, they're probably out there somewhere. Do I believe they're here in this planet? No. I'm very skeptical. But what's happening in terms of hard, real science and just the thoughts, just the thought that goes into it. If all these, you know, stars with these exoplanets around that, some of them are in the Goldilocks zone of certain suns, just like these are great odds. And, of course, because of things like, the law of relativity, we probably won't find that out in our lifetime and probably not for another 1,000 generations. But it's fun to think about these things.
Yeah, it absolutely is. There's a lot of neat stuff to explore there. So you went to college or university, as you Northern Americans call it. What did you study? What was your major?
Oh, now you're asking for my CV. Okay, if you go to my LinkedIn page, I'll try to keep this brief, but I've spent a lot of time at the university. I had to go to the local university, so in St. Catharines, that's Brock University, which I really enjoyed. So I spent a lot of the 90s there. Mm-hmm. I got my first class honors degree in history, and where I spent most of my studies focusing on 19th and 20th century political and intellectual European history.
Oh, brilliant.
But I had I was taking courses in classics, in philosophy, and in German language, and I quite enjoyed it. Brock is very good at the undergraduate level because of the seminar system, which is small groups of people in a classroom led by either a teaching assistant or the professor, and basically you just discuss things.
Yeah.
And that's where I learned how to argue, because you get bonus points by undercutting someone else's argument.
Sure. Well, very Greek. That's, fundamentally, that's how the Greek philosophers learned, was simply by discussion. It wasn't by being lectured to. It was by sharing ideas and talking through those ideas and applying what you did know or you could reasonably surmise from other things. So that type of thing. And that's essentially the fundamentals of dialogue, which is what my wife's doctoral dissertation is on. So I definitely hear a lot about that here in my household as well.
Yeah, and the best conversations is when you have some disagreements, but you get to interact in a humorous, respectful way.
So, gosh, what were we talking about? We were talking about
seminar discussion at small universities and Socratic method.
Socratic method. Thank you for labeling it what it officially is. So a lot of history classes you took. A lot of interest in that.
I was part time for 2 years because I couldn't afford to go full time. I couldn't get loans. They call it OSAP in Ontario for 4 years because my parents made too much money, but not enough money to send me to university or help me out with that. So I had to live at home. So I missed the residence experience because of that. So I finally got some loan money. I was working part-time. I was working at different historical sites. I spent some time in the Naval Reserves teaching kids how to sail, basically. And then, I spent a term living and studying in Melbourne, Australia at Deakin University. So I was taking some history classes down there.
So you're in Australia. That's fantastic. I visited the Sydney area for a couple weeks years ago, and I loved it. Beautiful, beautiful area.
I really enjoyed it. I tried to stay, but my visa was expiring the next day, so I had no choice.
Sure.
No, I did a lot of traveling. Like, I was – this story there, because I went through Western Europe and Germany specifically, and I spent all my money there during the holidays. It was like Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at a map going, hey, Ireland. I've never been to Ireland before. That was back in the late 90s. So I went to Ireland, spent more money there. And then I had to go to Australia afterwards. So I was broke down in Australia. So I miss a lot of things I wanted to see. Like I miss Queensland. I didn't see Darwin. However, I did take a 2-week bus trip to Central Australia. So the outback.
Mm.
The university student union put the trip together. And it was terrible. It was me, it was a couple other guys, and then there was a bunch of female nursing students and teaching students on the trip. And we had to stay in tents mostly. It was horrendous.
Really?
So, we went to Ayers Rock. The Aboriginal name is Alulu. I can't see it. This is the problem when we have a speech impediment. Even when you're trying to do the right thing and pronounce the name properly, you still butcher it, okay? It's Alulu, I think. So Ayers Rock. I went to Alice Springs. This is Mad Max territory. This is amazing stuff.
Sure. And,
highly recommend that.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you know, you said it was a horrible time, but still a memorable experience, which is really what life is all about, right?
No, when I say it was a horrible time, I mean the Zach Ops. It was a great time.
So. Okay, good, good.
And I'll go back tomorrow if I could.
Very good.
And then I got back and I was in debt because of all this stuff. And so I figured out, okay, I need to get like a decent job because I can't afford to do a PhD in history. So let's go to school, go to do something short and develop some marketable skill sets. And so, of course, I went to journalism school.
Hmm.
Yeah. That was a smart decision. But I did it. I went to the Western University, which back in the day was known as the University of Western Ontario. I did a master's of arts in journalism, where I focused mostly on documentary film work.
Wow.
What I really wanted to do was to make history documentaries at the time. I was just struggling financially, and I was working part-time jobs. And like anything to do with entertainment industry, you need to break in by living in a high-cost living area, such as Toronto or Vancouver or, you know, San Francisco or L.A. or, you know, New York.
Sure.
Making almost no money.
Right.
And I just could not pull it off financially. At the same time, I was working in the graduate student pub. So it's a small private club for...
So that's where it started.
It started there because, quite frankly, things have changed now. If you go to the grad club, it still exists, but they've expanded. It's not run by the what's called SOGS, which is the graduate student union, so for master's and PhD students. Now they kind of like privatized it and outsourced it, so it's not the same. But back in the day, there was a pool table, there was a couple of video games, there was a bunch of fake plants, plastic plants, and they had like the huge selection of tap beers. Back in the day, so this is be 99, 2000, I was working there. Actually, no, it was 2000, 2001, sorry. Yeah, had too much to drink, obviously. No, they had like, you know, 19 beers on tap. And they had the best selection of scotch because it, you know, this is the economic elite, so to speak. Because Western is considered to be like an Ivy League school in the States, but it's not quite because our universities are subsidized up here as opposed to the States where it's a completely private source of income.
Sure.
So in Ontario, in Canada, you have the four old schools. That's basically where the rich people send their students, their kids to. You have McGill, you have the University of Toronto, you have Queen's University in Kingston, not the one in Northern Ireland, and they have Western. So the difference between Queen and Western is Queen's kind of the new money, actually the old money, I should say, whereas Western's the new money.
Okay.
So it's neat from a socioeconomic point of view. So going back to the grad club, you get the graduate student level, you don't get any of this nonsense because they're all grad students. So most of them did their undergraduate degrees somewhere else. And I had the best discussions with people because you could have people from different faculties arguing over something that's not even related. And it's interesting to see how the scientists will approach things differently from someone who specializes in the social sciences.
Sure.
Versus someone who, you know, is a philosopher versus someone who is a musician. And it's a way to think differently. So that exposure definitely influenced, how I think about the world in general.
Sure. And a lot of that is essentially the foundation of the pubcast, right?
Yeah, and that's the idea. The idea is to, with the pubcast, is to bring people on. I don't care, you know, if you've never been podcasting before. You know, we're going to have some permanent more hosts type, which I call them staff. So there could be the, you know, the bartenders or the kitchen staff or, you know, security. And because they're more available, they're part of the network, and it's an opportunity to learn how to podcast and to spend more time on the mic perfecting this the skill set of actually communicating. But if there's people out there with an interesting take on any of the science fiction subjects, let's bring them on.
Absolutely.
This is not going to be a snobby bar. This is going to be a bar that's going to be open to almost anyone, as long as you're respectful and you have something interesting to say. You know, because it's going to be done by a Skype call. Call in, and we'll have a discussion.
I love it. I love it. I think that's a great idea. I do have, since we apparently have this informal policy on the Random Chatter Network of having to mention Derek's name. So there it is. I've mentioned Derek. I heavily question your logic of hiring Derek. Would you hire him as like your cook or something for the pubcast?
Kitchen manager.
Kitchen manager.
Listen, I have a big heart. And in my hearts of hearts, I want to help people.
The health department's going to have something to say about that.
We'll see how that goes. Okay. One good thing, since Derek doesn't drink, I know he's not going to be stealing booze from me. So look at it from a bar owner point of view.
That's true. And he actually won't even eat your food because he's just going to bring in Subway.
Exactly. So it's a win-win.
Interesting. Okay. But back to you. So you did some undergrad work in history. You did your grad work in journalism with a particular interest toward film, and then you continued on from there, correct?
I did. So at this stage, I was in debt to my eyeballs. I was working behind the bar, and one of my undergraduate jobs, I was working at an old fort from the War of 1812, which is right across from Buffalo, New York, in Fort Erie. Mm-hmm. They call it Fort Erie because there's a fort in Fort Erie. It's called Fort Erie.
Yep.
And a couple of years previously, we all wrote the test for a certain National Police Force of Canada to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say the name because I'm not commenting about this organization because I'm employed by that organization.
That's fine.
So I'm not allowed to. But that organization eventually decided to hire me. I was working at the grad club. My mom called me up and say, "Hey, this organization just called you, just sent you this package in the mail. What did you do?" So this organization I'm alluded to is the one with the cowboy hats and the red jackets. So,
yep.
So no, it was great. And because I was brainwashed from a very young age, because I was in cadets, I thought that was a great opportunity, one, to, you know, basically serve civil society,
mm-hmm.
Two, to pay back some debt, and three, to have a sense of adventure. I joined for the adventure. And because, it's the mythology of things. And I think mythology is very important because it focuses our identity. And when used right, it's part of our own narrative, our own story as a country, as a you know, part of Western civilization. So it's a history angle yet again.
True. True.
So I moved back home. I had to go through the hiring process, which was quite lengthy. I felt like I was applying for an astronaut position with NASA with all the medical stuff. And I eventually got in and did my 6-month training in Regina, Saskatchewan, at a place called Depot. And yeah, I got stationed out west in a small town on the oil patch called Drayton Valley for a couple of years. And I don't want to go too much into my service because this isn't really about that. But I eventually got back to Ontario, did a lot of plainclothes work. Unfortunately, I was in a role reversal with two sick parents for about 8 years.
Mm.
So I had a lot on my plate. And for several different reasons, I made the decision to, in 2007, basically resign on good terms from the organization and to go to law school. So in September 2007, I went back to Western and I started my law degree. And 2 months later, the recession hit. Yet Ooh. Again.
Mm-hmm.
So I finished my degree. I took care of my father, who since passed.
So we were talking about you obtained your law degree?
Yeah, I did that, and recession hit, and I was living in Toronto, and then I moved back to London, Ontario to live with a friend of mine who's a very good friend with more of an artsy-fartsy type house, and that's where a lot of my friends are located at. And I... Yeah, I jumped through the hoops and went back into this organization, which I'm currently employed with, the one with the cowboy hats and the red serge. And, yeah, so again, I went into a plainclothes position. I did a lot of organized crime type stuff around the GTA. And last year, they moved me to Ottawa at the national headquarters. And they are now letting me use my law degree, my legal lawyer's license. So I'm in a position where I actually represent ours. Members who've done some serious misconduct where they're facing dismissal, and I get to defend them. So I'm like a defense attorney, but internally. So it's quite challenging and quite eye-opening. So, and I have a nice, comfortable life living in downtown Ottawa.
All right, so we talked about college and a little bit of employment. What's your favorite fandom?
Definitely Star Wars. I'm a Star Wars fan. I was around when the original came out. I was 3 years old. I've been told that my parents took me and my older brother to see the New Hope, before it was known as the New Hope, at the movie theater, a drive-in cinema, actually, drive-in theater.
Ah, drive-in. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Drive-ins were wonderful, weren't they? Do you still have any drive-ins up around you?
Yeah, occasionally there's one, but most of them are gone.
Yeah, it's very sad that they're a bygone era. I mean, of course, the audio and video quality of drive-ins has been totally surpassed by what the current cinema experience is. But there's a certain nostalgia to drive-ins, particularly for those of us who grew up with them being around, and I miss drive-ins. They were wonderful. I mean, there's still a couple, I can't even say near me. I mean, they're an hour to an hour and a half away, for me to get to them. But, I mean, there used to be one in the town that I live in. My uncle worked there as a teenager, a couple towns away where my high school was. There used to be one. And I remember as a kid pretty regularly going to them.
That's amazing.
Up on my end. How about you?
I am.
Fantastic. All right, Joel. So we're back after a little bit of a delay here, a couple days. Hopefully your internet service provider has found some stability in its life.
What really happened, Tim, is that I had to go through the secret dimension, so I was away for a couple of years. Now I'm back. So.
Okay. So that was more of a ripple in the time-space continuum.
It occasionally happens. That's why I want to open up my own bar. So, you know, I hopefully that would happen less if I own a business. So
there you go.
We'll see.
There, if you put your bar in a TARDIS.
Ah, yes. You know, honestly.
That would be a great thing.
Honestly, I just want people to visit me. I'm tired of visiting and traveling and all that. I'm like, come on. Like, give an old guy a break. Come visit me. Don't make me go to them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So where we left off a couple days ago, I had asked you what your favorite fandom was. You had mentioned Star Wars definitely being your favorite fandom, and that your parents told you that they took you to see Episode 4, New Hope, the drive-in. And I lost you somewhere in my couple minutes of talking about how much I loved and missed drive-ins. And that was it. Then suddenly there was no more Joel. So now that Joel is back, let's continue talking about that.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I blame the interdimensional aliens. So, Star Wars. Yeah, it's my biggest fandom. It's something I share with my brother, Sean. To me, I love the narrative. I love the universe that George Lucas and many others created. And I grew up with it. So I got this sentimental, nostalgic thing going on. You know, I have pictures of me as a kid holding, you know, a picture of, you know, Luke Skywalker. And I was like 5 years old at the time, you know. There's definitely no gray. I wanted to be a Jedi. I wanted to be an X-Wing pilot. And
sure.
And look at me now. Well, no, not really. I've been around the Star Wars community for a bit. I've been to 7 different Star Wars celebrations, so I'm a bit infamous in some areas of Star Wars fandom. And I quite enjoy it. I enjoy going to these Star Wars celebrations and talking about Star Wars because everyone there is there to visit and talk about Star Wars. So I really enjoy it, and probably is one of my major stress releases in life.
Absolutely, absolutely. You said seven celebrations you've been to?
Yeah, I've been seven. Yeah, actually, wow. Yeah.
And you went to Celebration Europe a few years ago, right?
Yeah, I was the one in Essen, Germany. Okay. And then I recently, a year and a half ago, I was the one in, actually just a year ago, I was in the one in London, England, which is the second time they had Celebration in London, England.
Cool. Those are the only two overseas you've been to?
Yeah, I couldn't afford Japan, and yeah, that was just too pricey. Yeah.
Sure. That's still, those are great trips. Both locations.
Yeah, going to Europe is just it's expensive and it's a major financial sacrifice to go there, but you get to do other things when you're in Europe as well. So you can turn on the Star Wars and turn off when the celebration's finished and go out do some history stuff.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And there's a ton of history to be had, and obviously based on your academic background and a lot of the things that you and I have spoken about and things you've mentioned in other podcasts. I know you're big into history, like I am. And, taking advantage of that opportunity, like you said, if it's celebration that gets you out there, that's great. And if you can spend another week or 10 days or even more out there to, just kind of poke around and see what kind of history you can dig up, it's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. As we all know, there's lots of history in places like Orlando, so.
Yes, Orlando is known for its richness of history. Not knocking Orlando. It's a nice place.
I love Orlando.
Great town for a convention.
And good place for a bar, a science fiction bar.
Absolutely. There's a few of them. There's some gaming bars there. I think it'd be a good place, yeah, absolutely, for a sci-fi pub, if you happen to know anyone who has such an idea.
Yeah. I just need some investors and, another 10 years of working before I can retire. So
there you go. Crowdsource that, Joel.
I will.
You got to work that. Use the Sci-Fi Pubcast as your platform to crowdsource that. Although I'm not quite sure how Chris and Lou would feel about you, having your own separate Patreon that you push through the Sci-Fi Pubcast.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, Tim. With what I do for a living right now that pays the bills, I can't really ask people for money. Yeah, it's a bit of a conflict of interest. Yeah. But I'm no longer employed with this employer, and then I can do what I want.
True. There you go. So what other fandoms are pretty prominent for you aside from Star Wars?
Oh, I do like my science fiction movies. In terms of fandom, I don't have anything else. I do pay attention to Star Trek and Harry Potter and all that. But I'm more of a vintage science fiction guy, who's on about, Blade Runner, and it's been out for 35 years.
Right.
You know, some of these classic science fiction movies and stories. In terms of fandom, I think that's kind of what I'm more about, just the stories and narratives.
Sure.
My other interests are history. I was big into history when I was younger. Plus, I'm living in Ottawa, so I was into politics there for a bit. That's kind of like my sports, at least it was back before I put the politics in the back burner because of what I do for a living.
Sure.
And I like, the X-Files. I like, there's so many great TV shows on, like the last two decades. Currently, I've been watching a lot of Westworld, which is really amazing. Vikings, which I like a lot. It gets so much better in season two, and they're just finished season four now.
I heard Vikings was excellent. It's something I hadn't had a chance to jump into, but I've heard it's really, really good.
Yeah, it's not violent at all.
Sure. Yeah, I won't believe that for a minute. Cool. So you have a good range of things that you enjoy. So what actually got you into podcasting? Is the sci-fi Pubcast your first venture into it? I mean, I know you did a couple spots and random chatter shows. You did the movie draft a couple seasons ago. Had you done any podcasting prior to that?
No, I haven't. And I was just a longtime listener of the Force Cast and then the Random Chatter Network. And then I, caught the bug, so to speak, and I started listening to a lot of different podcasts, not just fandom stuff, but history and politics and a lot of the more philosophical, intellectual ones out there. And I just find it's a great, interesting medium because it brings the power of communication down to anyone with a laptop and a mic, thereabouts. And I think there's a lot of people who have very interesting perspectives on things. And it's a way that they can get that insights out is through podcasting.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
like, nowadays, I don't listen to commercial radio at all. I used to be a huge CBC radio guy, both mm-hmm. CBC 1 and 2. Now I listen to CBC 1 when I wake up for maybe 20 minutes before I get out of the door. And at night, I probably listen to CBC 2, which is the more nighttime music. But that's like public radio. And I used to listen to NPR a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now I find my podcasting listening, I just download the shows I want. So I do still listen to CBC and NPR, but now I do it in podcasting form.
Yeah, it's podcasting has certainly opened up a completely different means of finding and consuming the things that we're interested in. And as a listener of podcasts, it has become fairly addictive that you can just, I mean, really jump in iTunes or wherever it is you find your podcasts and do some searches, do some topical searches or searches by names. And there's all sorts of stuff that you can come up with. And sometimes it gets overwhelming. I mean, I find periodically, probably once a year or so, I have to go back through my list and call out the things that, you know what, I tend to delete more of these episodes than I actually listen to. If it ends up in my queue for 3 or 4 months, is it still relevant? Especially if it's more current events type of thing, then if it goes 3 or 4 months, it's probably not relevant at all. You know, I don't expect every episode of every podcast to pique my interest, but, you know, there are a lot of them, and there's certainly some mainstays and things like Star Wars. Yeah. That really I could, so long as the hosts are good, I can listen to them talk about Star Wars practically all the time.
What I really like is, you know, smaller podcasts that are, you know, done by people like us, may have people who have day jobs, and mm-hmm. we're doing this as a hobby, and we're doing it because we're passionate about something. And they get the more conversational type podcasts where, you know, you have a bunch of Star Wars fans talking about it. And they go deep, like way deep, and that into the subject matter. And that's what I like. I really don't want to spend my money to support people like the big boys on, you know, on the block, so to speak. But I do listen. I do like, you know, public radio. I don't want to listen to public radio all the time.
Right.
So I kind of mix my podcasting up between you know, public radio and just people like the Random Chatter Network and many others, both in Star Wars fandom and in history and, you know, more ground level, more street level, because I find that more, it can be more authentic.
Sure, sure. Well, and it's interesting that a lot of entities, particularly the bigger ones, like the NPRs, they, you know, started off fairly small. They had their name behind them for their podcasts, but it was generally, you know, just one show or maybe two shows. And they saw the following that occurred, and now there's so many out there. I mean, I listen to 2 or 3 shows that are run by NPR. I know that my wife listens to a couple of others on a pretty regular basis. And, you know, it's great to be able to get these things. I like the fact that they broadcast them through the two different mediums. So you can get them at the regularly scheduled time if you listen to your local NPR station. Or you can get them by way of podcast soon after and listen to it essentially on demand, which is really where our society has gone to, is wanting to listen to things when they want to listen to things and when they have the time to listen to things.
Yeah, at this stage, I listen to podcasts when I'm driving the car, when I'm trying to get to sleep at night. And if I'm just doing stuff around my apartment, I'll have a podcast on rather than something on the TV, because that way I can, you know, listen and do things without having to focus on a TV set with images, with moving images.
Sure. You're actually telling me then that you listen to podcasts that I'm on when you're trying to fall asleep? Is that what you're saying?
Actually, I was more crisp, but sure.
Very good. So let's see. I think, you know, we're just wrapping up now. Throw a couple random things out there. It is random chatter after all.
Okay, let me have a sip of my drink then.
Well, that's a good question right there. What, Joel, what is your favorite, we'll say both alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages?
Okay, probably Guinness. I like my Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, and I really like the taste of beer, and Guinness is a great stout. It's, yeah, it's owned by Diageo, but it's brewed in Dublin, Ireland, at St. James Gate. And I've been to Ireland twice in my life, and both times I've been to the brewery. So, yeah, and it's healthy for you, so to speak, because it has iron.
I hear it's a great tour.
Yeah,
to go through the Guinness facility.
Yeah, I did the old tour back in the day, and I did the new tour in 2009. So,
yeah. What was the difference between the two?
They renovated the entire building, and they created this large restaurant on the very roof of the facility. And they call it the 360 Bar, because you can walk around and you can see 360 degrees of Dublin.
Cool. Very cool.
And, of course, they serve Guinness.
Well, they would have to, obviously. I would hope so. Do they also serve food made with Guinness, like Guinness beef stews, lamb stews, that kind of thing?
I didn't make that far in, but I'm sure they do, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How about your favorite non-alcoholic beverage?
I'm a coffee guy. I need my coffee in the morning, and I'm not one of these guys that I have to have a Starbucks or I have to have a Tim Hortons. I can drink just about anything. I prefer Starbucks, but don't tell the rest of Canada that.
For those of you in the rest of the world, Tim Hortons is a very popular coffee donut type of shop that is permeates much of. Is it just Eastern Canada, or is it across all of Canada?
It's across all of Canada. It's a point of pride for Canadians. It's been around for, I think, 40 years nowadays. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's like a corner store. They're on every single block out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've gotten into Western and Central New York. I'm sure they've gotten into other border states. So, yeah, they're out there. They're out there. They're definitely starting to compete in the U.S. too. So,
Canada's not just maple syrup anymore.
No,
it's amazing.
Speaking of maple syrup, what is your favorite food? That was a great segue, Joel. My gosh, you like totally set me up for that. That was incredible.
I did. The problem is my favorite food is like seafood, but like shellfish, and you're not gonna put maple syrup on a lobster. It's just not gonna happen.
You could. I don't know why you would, but you could.
Yeah, but some people might do it, but not me. No, I love my shellfish. I love seafood. You can put it in like a clam chowder or just right out of a boiling pot of water. I since I was a small kid, I love that. Like I still buy cans, you know, the canned seafood stuff and eat that as snacks. You know, the shrimp stuff and crab meat. I can't get enough of that.
No, and it's generally healthy for you. So long as you find stuff that's, you know, fairly low in mercury content and such, it's seafood's pretty good for you.
Yeah. And my second favorite food is, you know, pizza and pasta. I know that's two types, but, you know, I eat a lot of pizza and I eat a lot of pasta.
There's nothing wrong with pizza. I'm definitely a big fan. Big fan of pizza. So. Very good. Well, Joel, do you have any closing comments? Do you want to... Why don't you take a moment to pitch the Sci-Fi Pubcast a little bit?
I think how I described it earlier in our previous conversation before, you know, the whole internet company thing provider went the way, you know, went south on me. Well, the Sci-Fi Pubcast, the idea is to give a platform for people who are passionate about certain things, such as science fiction, just to discuss and just really get into the intellectual foundations of science fiction. So there's going to be a lot of discussion about the history of sci-fi. It could be discussions on the power of science fiction in terms of the narrative in our society. But basically, it's wide open. And the idea is to have a place where we can have some great conversations. So it's not like, you know, people are just talking off the top of their heads. Hopefully, they've done some research. I'm planning on doing a lot more research than say some of the other Random Chatter shows, just because I want the depth to this. But honestly, it's a bar. So who knows what's going to end up happening? Because every night, every show, it's going to be different.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got me in on one of your beta episodes a couple nights ago. We had a good time. We talked about some pretty deep stuff. Yeah. We talked about the economies of various sci-fi universes and got into some other really neat topics. So it was fun. I'm definitely looking forward to listening and hopefully stopping by the pub once in a while.
Hey, absolutely. You're more than welcome. We'll take your insights because we trade in insights.
Well, Joel, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate you being on Random Chatter Interviews. And I continue looking forward to hearing you on podcast, looking forward to the Sci-Fi Pubcast. And like I said, look forward to stopping in once in a while.
hopefully, you enjoy this this small little podcast on Joel Welch and what's Joel Welch is all about.
That's right. It's all good. Thanks a lot, Joel.
Take care. Thanks for everything.
I hope you enjoyed our fourth episode of Random Chatter Interviews featuring Joel Welch. Look out for Joel's upcoming podcast, the Sci-Fi Pubcast. If you subscribe to the Random Chatter Network feed, you'll be sure to get it. You can follow Joel on Twitter at Joel_Welch, that's W-E-L-C-H, and get all the information on the Sci-Fi Pubcast on Twitter at Sci-Fi Pubcast. You can find the Random Chatter Network online at randomchatter.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork, and on Twitter at randomchatter. Send emails to us, randomchatter@randomchatter.com. You can find me, Qui-Gon Tim, on Twitter at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. If you like what we're doing here at Random Chatter, be sure to spread the word. Tell your friends and leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We also appreciate some financial support to help us keep beaming stuff into your brains. Visit patreon.com/randomchatter to show us some love. Even a dollar a month gets you access to our Slack channel, where you can hang out all day every day with hosts, staff, and other fans. The music featured on Random Chatter Interviews is Kaboom by I Fight Dragons. Thanks again for listening, and stay tuned on the Random Chatter feed for more Random Chatter Interviews coming at you all summer long.